Son on the cross, a man killed him. The Son looked straight to the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. And then he gave us prayer. In spite of all that he'd done, we have prayer and we're able to commune with him. And as me and Lily and my brother was driving back from church this morning, we went through 297. We were going down towards the river. And every time we got further down, you could see them sail bars just dropping off.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And we got down in that river, and it was about the lowest spot that I feel like I could be on the earth, just right over top of that water.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, the Lord can still hear me from here.
All right.
And just thankful for everything that he's given us, and just thankful for him helping me get through.
Oh, all right. Praise the Lord.
Hey. It's a real privilege to be here tonight. The Lord's really been extra good to us. I thought about Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham that his seed would be as many as the stars.
Right.
And Abraham said, how do I know this is going to be so? And the Lord said, well, take all these animals and split them in two.
Yes.
Put them on each side. And he did it. He split all that up.
Hey.
And you talk about a bloodbath.
Right, brother.
Blood everywhere. Animals split up and killed, laid on each side, one on this side and one on that side. Blood everywhere. But here come the birds, the fowls.
Right.
And they were landing on those sacrifices. And I could see old Abram running back and forth, shooing them off over here, running over here, shooing them off over here.
Yes.
Trying to make it where nobody will mess up
right.
What God was wanting to do for him.
Right. Go ahead.
And there's a lot of people like Abram probably in this building tonight, running to and fro, trying to do something to help God out.
Right.
Going over here trying to get these birds, trying to get them birds, making sure nobody messes up what God said he was going to do for you.
Go ahead.
Do you know what happened to old Abram? He wore himself out.
Right.
That's the same thing will happen to you.
Yep.
When you come to the Lord in salvation, if you come as a prince, you'll leave as a beggar.
Yep.
But if you'll come as a beggar, I promise you, you'll leave as a prince.
Hey.
The Son of God.
Yep.
And wore him out, and he fell asleep, went into a deep sleep.
Yep.
And when he went to a deep sleep, God and God alone walked that aisle by himself. He could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. When Abraham woke up, he found out the work was done. God had done walk through, and it was already finished. I come in on an already finished work. Not having to do nothing tonight, but rest in what the Lord Jesus has already done. He done it all. I thought about this morning and preached on it a little bit, and really it ain't off my heart yet. But I thought about the wondrous, marvelous work of redemption for mankind.
Yes.
How marvelous it is that we would be redeemed. That we would be redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by the precious, precious, precious blood of the Lamb. It's precious. It's an amazing thing that mankind can even be redeemed. Are y'all listening to me tonight? These are not just words. I pray the Holy Ghost to make this real in you tonight, that it's a precious, amazing thing that a human being can be redeemed. That word redeemed simply means purchased by. So this wasn't just our redemption was not just a rescue mission, but listen to me. It was a legal masterpiece for eternity. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just a rescue mission. It was a beautiful legal masterpiece that God performed.
Right.
And he did it himself.
Right.
Why is it so precious? In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, God said, let us make man in our image.
Right.
There was more than one there from the beginning, friend. Jesus was always there. Jesus was not created. He was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. God didn't wait till man made a mistake and start wringing his hands and wondering what he was doing. Before there was ever one sin, there was always a Savior reserved unto the day in the fullness of time. He would come and give his perfect life for a bunch of imperfect people. I put it simple to you like this. He became what we was so we could become everything He is. He said, let us make man in our image. Verse number 27 said, and so God made man in His own image.
Right. That's right.
Signifying those three are one.
Right.
They agree together. Right. Every one of them. Thank God, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost is all one. And so God made man in His own image. You know why God redeemed you? Everybody look up here. Now this is going to make some people puffy lip out about this far. It's got nothing to do with you. God redeemed you because He stamped His name on you. And He wasn't about to deny Himself. And so when we went the other way, He came toward us for His own good name and His own good glory. We see a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. I preached on this last time, maybe. I'm just obeying the Lord. Last time we talked about the tree of life, remember? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God made man in His own image. By the way, they come in on something that had already been finished.
Right.
He already made everything, already provided everything they would need. And then He made them. He's not an irresponsible God. Right. You're not here by happenstance. Right. God's sovereign in His doings.
Yes.
That is, He works without your consent.
Right.
He don't ask us about anything.
Right.
He does exactly what His good pleasure is. Yep. Now you say, preacher, the world's looking pretty bad. Look up here, I'll tell you exactly how it's looking. It's looking exactly how He planned it to look.
Yep.
Y'all understand?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you how He's going to land this thing. He's going to land it exactly according to His will.
That's right.
And everybody that's ever got on the old ship is on. Lucky from time to time, the storms may blow and the rain may fall. But buddy, if you're in Christ Jesus, you can guarantee yourself one thing. No matter how well you're performing right now, He that began a good work in you, bless His name. Him myself, He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm glad I'm resting in the Master to create and finish this masterpiece. Brother Satson, the Master's never created anything but masterpieces.
That's right.
It had not yet appeared what we shall be.
Right.
But when He appears, we shall be just like
Him.
Woo! Made man in His own image. There's them two trees that He named specifically. One of them the tree of life. The other the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You say, how close were they? They're far enough away where the roots would never intertwine.
What about that?
Never intertwine. But they're both in the midst of the garden.
Right.
Now, the tree of life is a typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He had the capabilities of giving eternal life.
Yep.
He was talking to those Pharisees. They didn't understand who could forgive sin but God.
Right.
They didn't know they was looking God right in the face.
Right.
Everybody listening?
Yep.
Looking God right in the face.
Go ahead, brother.
The deity of God through the Christ man, through the God man. The deity of God brought down to sinful man. What about that? That's a real special thing. This redemption of mankind. I'm preaching on the marvelous work of redemption for mankind.
Go ahead.
Here Christ was standing in the garden. Here sin was standing on the other side. As man stepped down the row and started walking toward those trees, no doubt when Christ seen the Father's creation, He said, what a beauty. It looks just like Him. It looks just like my Father. What a beautiful creation. And to His heart breaking, man turned and walked toward the other tree and left Him standing alone. Book of Isaiah said He is despised. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised from the very beginning. Instead of choosing the tree of life that could give them eternal life, They went the other way. They had one choice and they run it from the beginning. And whether you believe it or not, through one man, sin and death passing on, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a marvelous, magnificent thing that God Almighty would give mankind another chance after they blank-faced, went toward the other way and denied His Son in the garden.
Yes.
And of course, because God didn't deny Himself, He said He set cherubims there at the gate of the tree of life, at the doorway of the tree of life. He set cherubims there. And their job was to guard the way of the tree of life so man couldn't get in and eat and live forever, because God had made mankind a promise that the moment that he eat of that tree, he shall surely die.
Right.
Yep. What a marvelous thing the redemption of mankind is.
Yes.
Brother Chris, he should have said right then, "Phooey on man whom I created."
Yes. Yes.
But you see, he made them in his own image.
Hey. Thank you.
He wasn't about to leave them alone.
Yes. No, sir.
He wasn't about to not let them get away. But there he set the cherubims so he wouldn't be a liar.
Amen.
Those cherubims to guard the way of the tree of life. Look, listen real close. Man could not get to him.
Right.
Why? Because you died.
Yeah.
Through one man, sin and death passing all. Not only was Adam dead, but you is dead.
Right.
You got the Adamic nature.
Yep.
That's our first father, Adam, you see. Right. Everything that was his is passed on to us.
Right.
We inherited.
And so if we did inherit that, and we did.
Yes.
Then how in the world can a dead man choose God?
Go ahead, brother.
We've not chose him, but he chose us.
Oh, yes.
What a marvelous thing the redemption of mankind is.
Right.
Lost in our sins, depraved of God, did not know God, did not care by nature. We're the children of wrath,
right.
Enemies of God. We did not like him by our nature.
Go ahead.
And he pursued somebody that didn't even like him.
Right.
How many of you will do that? You'd say, well, they don't like me. I'm going to give up on them. But I'm going to tell you, if you see something in them, you say, what did he see in me? I'll tell you what he's seen in you. He's seen his Son in you.
Right.
He knew you in Christ before the world ever was.
Amen.
That's why God could create man. Listen, that's why Isaiah chapter number 6, let me quote this. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah talking. He said, I saw also the Lord. Now let's stop and look at that for just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Before Isaiah could ever see the heavenly king,
right,
that earthly king had to die.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of people the king of their own life, but they're the king of a dead life.
Yeah.
That'll never be alive as long as you're king.
Right.
Prior to Isaiah chapter 6 there where he saw the Lord, Isaiah mentioned the Lord Jesus, I think, some 3 times. After he had this encounter with the Lord, he mentioned something 90 times. After that, he could not quit talking about him.
Right.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord.
Yeah.
High and lifted up. Yeah. Listen. And his train filled the temple.
Right.
Now listen, these kings' train signified just how much power and authority that
that's
they had.
That's right. Victory.
And my Father in heaven, his train, it filled the whole entire temple.
Right.
Showing that he's got all victory, all power, and all authority.
Right.
He's not worried about how your life's going as far as he is concerned. He does love you, but he's not scared about it.
Right.
He's not worried about the way this world's going.
Right.
He is in control of it all.
Yeah.
And he's working all things together for our good.
Yeah.
One of these days he's going to put in touch and lighten us on the firebanks of Jordan.
Right.
So he set them outside the garden to guard the way of the tree of life. So they couldn't get back in and eat and live forever.
Right.
But then the tree of life, the type of Jesus Christ, by his own will, uprooted himself and walked past the cherubims. And if they could have said, tree of life, what are you doing? He would have said, they didn't choose me.
Right.
But I'm going to choose them.
Amen.
They wanted nothing to do with me.
Yes.
They picked the tree that was pleasing to the eyes.
Right.
But I'm going to go give them another chance.
Yeah. Yeah. marvelous redemption. I can't wrap my mind around it.
Me either, brother.
His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain they did fly. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet, their legs. And they cried one unto the other, Holy, holy, holy,
yes,
is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Right.
Here's was angelic beings in the presence of God Almighty.
Yes.
Listen real close. Praising someone whom they've never seen.
Right. Go ahead.
Holy, holy, holy.
Yep.
You say, how'd they know he's holy if they had their eyes covered?
Hey.
The same way I know he's holy.
Right.
And I've never seen him with my eyes yet.
Right.
But there's something inside of me that's seen him. Moses asked to see his glory. God said it'll kill you. But our precious New Testament said we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. The deity of God sent to man through the body of Jesus Christ. God coming to man to purchase us back. What about that? Marvelous redemption. They'd never seen him, but they was worshiping him.
Good.
Just being in the presence of God Almighty, I want to note a few things here. Don't get mad at me. It's just the Bible.
Preach it.
There was no preacher there with Isaiah. But the one that preaches all the preachers, the main preacher was there.
Yes.
His presence alone, his holiness. I want to tell y'all something. In comparison to each other, you could look okay. But in comparison to this holy God of heaven, you don't even make a speck comparing to him. Salvation is not of yourself. It's not of your works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. What is the gift of God which salvation comes from? No other name given. There's the gift among man whereby we must be saved.
That's what he said.
It's by Christ that we're saved, not by our own good merit, our own good works. It's the good, listen, it's the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
The grace of God is unmerited favor.
Right.
We do not deserve it. We did nothing to deserve it. Matter of fact, I'd like to say it like this. We done everything to not deserve it.
Right.
We don't deserve it.
Good.
Marvelous redemption.
Yeah.
Being in the Holy God drew out of Isaiah's mouth a confession of who he was.
Right.
No saying shame on you, Isaiah.
Nope.
No saying you're a nasty human being, Isaiah.
Right.
Just the presence of God's holiness that those angels sensed it so much that all they could utter out of their mouth without even ever getting to see him is holy, holy, holy. You see, when the priests walked in to do the work to roll over the sins, they would carry with them a censer. And the censer would have in it coals that was made from a sacrifice that had already been sacrificed.
Right.
And the censer would put out smoke. And the smoke would protect God from killing man.
Go ahead. Yep.
It would protect mankind from being consumed because God smelt the sacrifice as a sweet smelling savior, and you could say that it sort of distracted him.
Go ahead, brother.
And worked as a filter back then.
Sure.
And Isaiah, in the presence of God, he just went to confess, and he said, woe is I. Woe is me. He said, for I am a man of unclean lips. And that old cherubim, after he said he was undone, the cherubim flew and had the tongues. Remember, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Friend, the reason he had a coal pick to pick up is because Christ had already been slain.
Right.
That cherubim went and he picked up a piece of that coal and he went and touched Isaiah's unclean part. You say, what did he do, preacher? He ministered Jesus Christ unto Isaiah. And after Christ touched his lips, the cherubim said, now you're clean, thank God. Woo! You can't get no more clean than when Christ touches you. Ever been of it washed away and gone like it never happened? The good thing of justification is not that you're not guilty, but it, before God, it's just as you've never done it. Wonderful, wonderful redemption. A purchase back, a buyback. What a legal masterpiece. By the way, when that touched, you know, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When Isaiah got touched with Christ, he didn't only cleanse him, but he touched him with the Word.
Right.
We see how effective this is, Brother Sexton. Whenever the Lord said he needed somebody to go, Isaiah, without even thinking, slipped his hands up and said, here am I, send me.
Right. That's it.
Why? Because the Word had touched his nasty, dirty lips.
Yes.
And when the Word touched him, it gave him something to say.
Right.
Without knowing where the Lord wanted him to go, what the Lord wanted him to say, how he wanted him to do it, he was just ready to go because something eternal had touched his lips and he wanted to go tell somebody about this man who can save to the uttermost. And friend, not too awful long ago, the Word of God touched my unclean lips. But it didn't just cleanse my lips. It cleansed me from the top of my bald head to the bottom of my feet. And I had something to say. He gave me a say-so.
Yeah, brother.
And now I want to tell it.
Yep, preach.
What a marvelous thing redemption is. He wanted to go and tell what had been done. He wanted to go tell about this God that he had encountered. And real quickly, like, we're not going to dive into this too deep, but I do want to mention one more thing about this redemption. Anybody remember reading about Rahab the harlot? And I think I've mentioned it. If I hadn't, maybe you've heard somebody else talk about it, but there's these things called tola worms, maybe, that I mentioned last time. And when the scripture tells us that the Son of Man's a worm, said, and we're a worm, when it's talking about us, it does mean a maggot. When it's talking about him, it means this crimson worm, scarlet worm, or tola worm.
Right.
And I ordered some of them things to look into them a little closer, and they'll attach themselves to the tree willingly. They'll have babies, and the babies will eat on the third day. They'll eat through a dye sack, and they'll secrete. You can't make this stuff
right,
up.
Brother.
This is Jesus Christ woven all through this thing. And it would stain those babies permanent crimson red after the third day. On the fourth day, she'd turn white as snow. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be a scarlet,
yes,
I'll wash them white as snow. And sometimes, a lot of times, turn into the shape of a white hart as to give the message to the babies, I sure do love you.
Right.
And it was with this dye, it was with this tola worm that they would extract this dye to be able to dye the cloth scarlet.
Right.
And so in the temple, when they would walk in, there was things there. Are y'all seeing
yep.
this? Jesus Christ in that temple back then. Those curtains that
yes.
was dyed crimson red, it Never come from
did.
That scarlet worm, that crimson worm whom he said he was.
Yes.
But not only that. These men come in, they was going to spy out the place of Jericho there, and they went into Rahab the harlot's house. Still talking about redemption. I'm fixing to close. And Rahab, she had this name around town, and it was always Rahab the harlot.
That's right.
And so that title followed her everywhere that she went. I want to ask you something. Have you ever had a title? Boy, I have.
Yes.
I've had titles I wanted to get rid of and never did want nobody to know about. I'm just being honest
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, brother.
We've all done things that we don't like to talk about. But everywhere she'd go, there's Rahab the harlot. There's Rahab the harlot. She could not get rid of that name because of the life that she had lived.
Right.
She had created a debt she couldn't pay. So those men come in there and she said, here, come up here with me. Took them on the top of the roof and hit them up there. And the men of the city came in and they say, Rahab, we know that those men come in here and you need to tell us where they are because they come to cause great destruction. And she said, hey, all I know is they come up in here and they left, said, if you'll hurry up and go, you may can catch them before they reach the mountains. Go on. And so they turned around and they ran out to try to catch those men. And Rahab went down to them, and she just wanted to make a little. You say, why did she? She knew, because she had said, look, I know that the Lord your God, he's the God of heaven and earth.
Yes, brother.
She said, and I know he's given you this land. We fear him. And so Rahab the harlot's report of God was a lot better than 2026 Christians across our country.
Right.
This harlot believed the Lord. And she feared the Lord. And she had nothing to bargain with. But here's some of the things I want to get at.
Yes, bro.
Here's the amazing thing. You say, why did she want to make a covenant with them? Why did she want to make a deal? Because she really believed that destruction was fixing to happen. And I think Rahab wanted another chance. She knew things was fixing to get wiped clean. I think she wanted another chance to live one more time so that name would stop following her. So after she heard Rahab, she didn't have to hear the harlot following the name Rahab. She seen an opportunity here to start anew. And she said, man, I'll hide y'all. I'll do whatever it takes, but just save me.
Yes.
And the Bible says, here's where that precious Christ comes in.
Oh, yeah.
The toll of worm. Said she let them out the window with a scarlet thread. And when she did, they looked back up there and they said, Rahab, hang that scarlet thread in the window. That way when we come in here, we'll know not to mess with this house.
Right.
And so Rahab took the scarlet thread and she hung it up in the window there. Now I mind you, this is just an old harlot, you know. And whenever he went back, he probably got his men together. He said, now, man, we fixing to go in there and get every one of them. But there's just this one house.
Right.
And he had to,
go ahead.
By the way, he said, listen, I can't account for the ones that goes out.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But everybody that comes in this house, they'll be covered under the scarlet thread.
Yeah.
And if they die, we'll pay for it.
Right. What they said.
We can't account for the ones that goes out. In other words, we can't account for the ones that will not come in. But for all those that would come in, we'll take care of them.
Amen.
She hung the scarlet thread up in the window. There it was as a token. And those men, after there's been told, look, there's this woman we can't mess with. And they said, well, boss, how are we going to know? How are we going to know which house it is? There's a bunch of houses there. And maybe he said, well, there's going to be this one house that's different than all of them. And they said, how's it different? How's it different? Can y'all tell me how it's different? There was only one thing different, thank God, that stood out. There's only one thing different that accounted for anything.
Yeah.
And it was that blood stain.
Yeah. Yes.
Scarlet thread.
Yes. Yes.
And so they said, okay, well, maybe, you know, I mean, if it was me thinking, I'd think, well, what kind of famous person are we protecting? And they said, well, she's an old harlot.
Uh-oh.
Maybe they said, that's the first one we ought to kill.
Go ahead, brother.
That's the first one we ought to go destroy. See, it wasn't because, I want y'all listening up here. I'm winding down.
Hey,
it wasn't because Rahab was something special. We know by her life she was nothing special.
Right.
But there was something special hanging in the window.
Amen.
It wasn't because she deserved to live. It wasn't because she deserved a second chance. It was because there was a scarlet thread hanging on her window protecting whoever was in that house.
Right.
She did nothing.
Good. Good.
They come in and, of course, they started wreaking havoc. But you know what? I want to tell y'all something. Every time she'd look out that window and see all that destruction, she would have to be reminded that the only reason I'm not included in all that destruction is because of that scar.
Right.
The amazing thing of mankind's redemption. That's the only reason why I'm not being out there destroyed like all of them.
Oh, yes, brother.
Later on, Rahab would go on to marry a man named Salmon. Everybody look up here. Which put that undeserving harlot right into the lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ. And maybe whenever, think about that. How marvelous. You said, you mean the harlot's in the lineage of Jesus Christ just as much as these murderers sitting in here?
Right.
You say, we ain't got no murderers. Let's look at you through Christ's eyes. Everybody got a tongue?
Yep.
Anybody ever run the tongue?
Yep.
In the eyes of Jesus Christ, you're just exactly like a murderer.
Yep. What he said.
You say, how in the world can a harlot get into the lineage of Jesus Christ? The same way a drunkard can, the same way a whoremonger can, the same way a dope head can, the same way a religious person that never misses church and does all the good works that they can, the same, thank God, through Christ, through Christ. Maybe when Salmon come to get her to take her to his place, I don't know now. I'm wondering about this. It really does sit well with me that thread become precious to her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe when they were packing things up, she took that old raggedy scarlet thread she had around for a little bit. She said, here, Salmon, put this in the buggy. He says, honey, I got plenty of old rags at home. We can leave this.
Yeah.
And I could see tears welling up in Rahab's eyes. Salmon, if I go, this scarlet thread will have to go with me. And then I could even see her later on. You know, her and Salmon had this boy named Boaz. By the way, Salmon, by the law, wasn't ever supposed to have anything to do with her.
That's right.
Never.
Never.
Maybe she went to the closet when Boaz got old enough and pulled out that thread and said, Boaz, I'm going to tell you a little background on your mama.
Right.
Your mama wasn't nothing but an old harlot. Everywhere I went, son, they'd say, there's Rahab the harlot. And these men come in, and your dad was with them. He was one of them. And they came in, and I got to make a covenant with them. And you see this scarlet thread? They told me that if I'd hang this in the window, that I wouldn't have to die. And ever since that was over with, Mama wouldn't remember by a harlot no more.
Right.
But I want to teach you something, son. Your daddy come to me when he shouldn't have. Don't ever reject somebody just because they're not just like you are. And old Boaz took that to heart.
Right.
Because later on, he done for Ruth. What Salmon done for his mama. Ruth didn't deserve it. They wasn't in the same lineage. But all because Boaz was taught well by her mama. Mamas, are y'all listening to me? You've got a big part in this.
Yeah.
All because Boaz was taught well by his mama. He had something to do with Ruth.
Yes.
And Ruth, from marrying Boaz, got put in the lineage of Jesus Christ. When she didn't deserve to. The marvelous wonder of redemption. God come down to man after we said no and would quicken us, making us alive after we died. You say, when did I die in trespass and sin? You died in trespass and sin when Adam did.
That's right.
You say, well, how do I know I'm dead? Because, hey, don't we all agree that the dead knoweth nothing? So how do we know we're dead in trespass and sin? For you hath he quickened.
Right.
He makes you alive through the word of God. He opens your eyes so you can see that you're a sinner and he's the Savior and he saves you.
Right.
You say, who all will he do that for? Whosoever will come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. Lastly, it's this. Spurgeon said this. Now, don't think this is Calvinism. It's not. He said, Spurgeon said this. He said, from this side, it says, whosoever will.
Right.
But from that side, it says, chosen in Christ.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world. Oh, he's seen you in his son. That's why he could make mankind without killing him on the spot. Because he could see you in his son.
Right.
He's seen everyone in his son. That would come if you would just do it. Good. Or if the Lord's speaking to you. I love him and I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. I'll turn it back over to Peter Sexton.
Isaiah chapter 28.